through 9. This is a description of people who live in the last dispensation. These people literally lived in the days of Timothy, and they literally live in the day in which you and I live and participate at this time. People had these characteristics, and people have these characteristics. People, and we're always saying this, are getting worse, but people have been worse ever since Adam and Eve sinned. We're noticing it more perhaps in our country, that is in Arkansas and the United States, more in the last several decades than perhaps we did earlier. But there have always been people like Paul describes here, and there will be people like this until the end of the millennial, when this earth is melted with fervent heat. That's all that's going to solve this problem. And that is for everyone who has this kind of attitude to be totally and completely destroyed, and for there to be a new heaven and a new earth. As we look at these kinds of people and people who have these characteristics, we wonder why people are like this. People are like this, first of all, because they're born with a capacity to be like this. They are born with the capability and the ability of developing into this kind of person, because we're born separated from God. And therefore, we can continue to develop as people separated from God until we possess some or all of these characteristics. We hear a great deal about the environment in our age, but I don't believe that the environment made us. I think we've made the environment. I don't think the environment made us like we are. I think that we are like we are, and thus we've made our own environment. You'll notice that Paul begins by saying that men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is, there will be people who will be so self-centered and so utterly sold upon themselves and so focused upon themselves that they cannot think of anyone else. In fact, they do not even think of God. They shall be covetous, that is, they want more than what they have, and they want it so badly, they're willing to trample underfoot the rights, yes, and even the lives of other people in order to get what they want. They're boasters, that is, people who brag and boast about their accomplishments and who overstate them in order to impress others. They're proud, that is, haughty and arrogant. They're one who thinks himself better than others. Then the word blasphemer, which means those people who use abusive speech and who slander. It is said of Satan that he is the great slanderer, that he is the one who blasphemes God. Here then are mercenary, boastful, haughty, and abusive people who are disobedient to parents. This word disobedient means unwilling to be persuaded. It doesn't mean that they have not been taught. It doesn't mean perhaps that they have not been what they should be at one time. But it means now that in this depth of sin and separation and all from God, that they will not be persuaded by their parents to walk in the way of godliness. They're ungrateful, and they're completely the opposite of being holy. They're wicked. The Bible tells us they're without natural affection. That is, they have no family ties. They don't care for the family. They're people who loose themselves from the family and do not value the love that nature dictated to be in the families. I can't think of anything that characterizes our age any more than the destruction of the family and those who do not seek to be a part of a particular family. The Bible tells us that they're truth breakers. That is, they're without truth. And people who will not make a truce to end hostility. As far as they're concerned, they're at war and they'll stay at war. And they'll never make a truce with those with whom they are engaged in warfare. They're false accusers. That is, they slander. They set themselves at variance by making false statements. They're incontinent. That is, without any self-control in any area of their lives. It doesn't mean that there's just one or two things in their lives that are out of control. But we use this phrase to describe people now. We say, well, they're just out of control. We talk of children. We say the children are out of control. But here Paul uses it, and he means that these people do not have a single area of life. Their finances, their character, their tongue, their sexual involvement. They're just simply, totally, and completely out of control. They therefore become fierce. This means uncivilized and savage. That may also describe the world in which we live, the state in which we live, and the section of Little Rock in which we live. It has become in some ways uncivilized and therefore savage. These are despisers of those that are good. That is, they have no respect for the law, nor for those who practice that which is taught by law and by God. It is one who refuses to love good men. Therefore, they're unfriendly and brutal and hostile to that which is good. Paul says that they're traitors, heady and high-minded. That is, they betray. They're people who are willing to abandon another in time of trouble. Two people on the battlefield, and one of them is wounded, and without even a pang of conscience, he deserts that person and leaves them. It's like the man wounded by the wayside, and those who go by and do not pay any attention until the Good Samaritan comes and helps. These are people then who will not help and abandon one another in time of trouble. They're heady. That is, one who rushes headlong into any particular task. Hasty in speech or action, and high-minded. That is, they have their heads in the clouds. They're someone who has no clear vision. We might even refer to them today as people who are hot-headed. The Bible says they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is a compound word, and it means hedonism. Delight, enjoyment, pleasurable sensations are the only things that they ever think about or involve themselves in. If it has to do with something that doesn't give them pleasure, then they abandon it and back away from it. Everything in life is oriented to one thing, and that is their own personal pleasure. They prefer good times to worshiping God, and they have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. This word form means the outline or a sketch. They're simply people who have an outward form, that is, make-belief of piety. They deny or disown or say no to the power of God that would change them from being simply outlines and images into the real thing. And Paul said to Timothy, from such turn away. That is, turn yourself away from these kinds of people and keep away from them. The obvious fact is that when we are in deep contact with people of this nature, we will change to be like them. They will not change to be like us. Now let's look at verse 6, where Paul writes, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses." For of this sort, that is, these are the kind of people who enter in by some very sneaky way into a family. I think that's what this word house stands for here, because we've been talking about some of that in these previous verses of Scripture. But he said these are the kind of folk that will worm their way in and sneak into a family and lead captive silly women laden with sins. That is, people like this worm their way and sneak into a household, and then they take a prisoner. That's what this word, or words lead captive, mean. They mean to take a prisoner, such as a prisoner of war, and thereby gain complete and total control. And he uses the phrase silly women. And the word that's silly is really not there. It's sort of a contemptuous look and it's portrayed in the statement, the little woman. The word that's translated silly women laden with sins has in it the idea of just the little woman. And I don't mean this morning to change the things that God has written in His book. I don't mean to lessen the things that God has written in His book. But it seems to indicate that these people are easily led astray. They really have no anchor in life. They really have no solidness to their character. The Bible teaches us that they're silly women who are laden with sins. The word laden means to heap or to pile up. And there get miserable women in their clutches. I think that Paul is referring to immature women in the home who've never developed solid character. People who have piled sin upon sin upon sin upon sin until they're miserable and guilty and weighted down with their own failures. And these people are susceptible to these false teachers who come into their homes and lead them astray. They are led away with diverse sins. That is, to lead or to drive. And the word diverse means many faceted. These people then are controlled by all sorts of impulses. And what these people did was to visit the homes evidently in person and to capture, quote, the little woman. It's a contemptuous statement that means women who've never gained any character in life, never know what's important, never know what's good. They just live for the moment, live for the next paint job, just live for the next fad diet, just live for the next new dress or whatever. And so they're easily captured, they're easily led astray, especially when they are tempted with sin. Here's another characteristic of these people, of these women, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always being informed. They have constant sources of information, and yet they do not possess the power or will not accept the power to change. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge. That is, the kind of knowledge that they need in order to change. They're just getting a lot of information like they get from the tabloids they buy at the grocery store about aliens and two-headed calves and three-headed babies and what Elvis is doing and how many sightings there have been of him. All of this stuff is absolute garbage. They fill themselves up with it. They can tell you all about the movie stars. They can tell you all about the television characters. They can tell you all about everything there is that isn't important. They ever learn, always filling themselves up with this kind of infomercials, but they never have accumulated the kind of knowledge that will cause a person to change. There's a lot of trash literature in the world today and a lot of trash programs on TV. In fact, most of them, and we'll have to admit it, it's the truth. And they're coming into our homes. We're carrying it in ourselves. And it is destroying the character not only of the little woman, but also the big man. And destroying the influence of the little woman, the big man, and the little offspring. People are no different now than they were then. If they can find something to amuse themselves with, they do it. The kind of knowledge that we ought to want to have is the kind of knowledge that would change us if we would accept it. The kind of knowledge that would make us better if we would follow it. The kind of knowledge that would make us holier if we would get ourselves involved in it. No wonder they could be led astray at the whim of those who would worm their way into the household. They had no foundation. Their lives had been built upon the sand indeed. And when the storms come and the winds blow and the tumult descends upon them, they're soon carried about not to goodness and not to righteousness, but into more sins. Now, there is an example given in verses 8 and 9 of those who practiced this same kind of deception and undermining of that which is good. We might even say that they enter into the house here, and it could be said that it is the church house or the family of God, because verse 8 sets this kind of conduct within the work of Israel as a nation. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That is, Jannes and Jambres were reprobates concerning the faith, and these are the kind of men that the little woman was following. The Bible tells us that these two men, according to this statement of Paul, withstood Moses. That is, they stood against him, and they stood in hostility to Moses. So do these also resist the truth. That is, just as these two characters in the history of Israel, not in sacred scripture but in secular history and recording, just as these two men stood up to and resisted the influence and the teaching of Moses, so these also oppose and resist the truth. Just like these two characters that caused so much misery to Moses, so these are also hostile to the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning truth. Corrupt means to be completely and totally depraved. These are men who have completely and totally depraved minds. They are reprobate. That is, they are rejected after trial. They are depraved in mind, and they have been found counterfeit in faith by the trials they refuse to endure. Paul said that the end of these two false teachers dictated the end of those who would involve themselves in the ungodliness of those who would come and work their way surreptitiously into a family, into a congregation, and thereby despoil the family or the congregation by capturing the attention and by capturing the allegiance of those who've involved themselves in learning things that have no profit and have no value. Paul said, but they shall proceed no further. The word proceed means to cut before. But their successes will be short-lived. They will be cut off before they can accomplish everything that they have set out to do. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. That is, their foolishness. That is, the actions that have been based upon those things that are not based upon truth. Things without understanding, manifest, clear, or evident. Someday, Paul is saying, their deceit will be well known to all people. I want to read some information that I have that I think states this better than I can. And I hope that as I read it, you can get a better picture of these people. Deceivers of women are among the apostates who afflict the church. Such men furtively gain access to the houses of their victims and succeed in captivating the allegiance of silly women. The women so victimized are heaped with sins. This type of woman, perhaps neurotic and depressed by the guilt of sin, is easily led astray by religious quacks who may satisfy the desire for some sort of religion without demanding the abandonment of sin. Church history is full of female victims and companions of false religionists from the tradition of Simon Magus and Helena to the multitudinous wives of Brigham Young. Satan's method in the garden was to insinuate himself into the confidence of Eve. These women victims are further described as continually learning but never arriving at real knowledge. They remind us of the Athenian pastime, which in its desire to always find something new prevented concentration on real spiritual truth in order to assimilate it. These women never come to the truth because they know not him who is the truth. The final description pictures the apostates as active resistors of the truth. For illustration of this resistance, Paul names Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses. Since these men are not named elsewhere in Scripture, the source from which Paul derived the names can legitimately be asked. The best answer is that the names were preserved in Jewish tradition, either oral or written, and were thus known to Paul. Some of the data in Stephen's speech was also derived from such material. Although much of the material is in Jewish traditional literature, legendary and allegorical, the Holy Spirit so guided that only what was true was included in Scripture. Jannes and Jambres are names in the Targum of Jonathan. They're described as counselors of evil in Egypt who ultimately perished either in the Red Sea or in the slaughter which followed the making of the golden calf. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses by imitating his works. So these apostates in Christendom are imitators of true religion. However, they are in a state of corruption in their minds. Their intellectual faculties, having refused the light of truth, have become unable to receive the truth, which cleanses the life and enlightens the understanding. Consequently, when these men are tested by the standard of the Christian faith, they are disproved and shown as worthless metal. Ultimate defeat is certain. Just as occurred with the opposers of Moses, the senselessness of these men will eventually be unmasked and become clearly evident to men generally. Even the magicians of Moses, who were successful for a time, came to see their rod swallowed up and their inability demonstrated. This restriction upon the progress of the apostates must refer to their influence and success in gaining followers, rather than personal advance along their evil ways. God will see to it that His faithful remnant is preserved in every difficult season. This explanation is confirmed in verses 13 of chapter 3. Since evil men are definitely predicted to proceed further in their ungodly ways. What Paul wants us to understand is that we live in a world like this. We live in a world that has people with these characteristics. Paul said, turn away from people like this. Jesus taught us that we live in the world, and He wants us in the world. When He spoke to His church, He said, go into all the world. We can't avoid being a part of the world, but we can avoid those in the church who would lead us out into the world to live like the world. And that was the problem here at this congregation. There were people who had evidently made professions of faith. There were people who had been immersed. And then there were people who were practicing, trying to get those in the congregation who were vulnerable to compliments, who were vulnerable in their inactivity, to turn away from the things of God and feast themselves on the things of the world. We live in a bad generation. We live at a wicked time. But then times have always been wicked and men have always been degenerates. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to grow up. We're going to have to become mature. We're going to have to be the kind of people who, because of our wisdom and maturity, are able to identify that quickly who is false, who is faking it, and who isn't. It means that we love one another and turn to one another and help one another, and that we reject and refuse and judge as a church those whose lives are ungodly and wicked and who would drag us down into a diversity of ungodliness. It takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of close watching. But God help us to be able to do it.